Chapter 3, The One Who Enables Us to Experience the Name of Jesus. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Matthew 28:19-20. Equally important, Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28:19-20. The Holy Spirit is one of the persons of the Trinity. Let us focus on the Trinity for a moment. People have generally adopted the order in which it is said from Matthew 28:19-20, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. However, some have subconsciously accepted that the Father is in the highest position, the Son in the second, and the Holy Spirit in the last, because of the way it is written. A list can show priority and even importance. However, in this case, it is neither. According to the hierarchy in a family, a father comes before the son. Because we are so used to seeing things in a social order, we have projected such perspective on the Trinity. Thus, many Christians actually believe that the Holy Spirit is inferior to the Son in status. They believe that it is more important to please the Son than the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, they feel that it is more important to please the Father than the Son. However, Jesus revamps that thinking and says, Anyone who speaks against a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Matthew 12:32. He gives more honor to the Holy Spirit than himself. Many Christians are opposing or blaspheming the Holy Spirit, with or without knowledge, because they have not been taught the proper attitude concerning the Holy Spirit and His work. Today, most churches emphasize a good character by obeying the Ten Commandments or keeping the moral standards, but not the character that respects and honors the Holy Spirit. This inclination comes because Christians often rank the Holy Spirit as the third on the list of importance and not as the third person of the Trinity. This misunderstanding and attitude have limited the Holy Spirit. Thus, many Christians have not experienced His powers. To my amazement, when the Holy Spirit-filled and tongue-speaking revivalists lead meetings, most participants also become filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. The same anointing is there. It is because the revivalists honored the Holy Spirit and allowed Him to fully minister without any restrictions. The Holy Spirit wants to freely fill and empower wherever He is embraced. Likewise, churches led by the Holy Spirit-led pastors are also filled with the Holy Spirit. In my church, Seoul Seungrak Church, our laypersons cast out demons. I always emphasize that everyone should participate in the works of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that demons are cast out by the Holy Spirit, Matthew 12:28. When demons are cast out, there is true victory in God's kingdom. In some churches, the pastors actively stop laypersons who demonstrate the Holy Spirit's power because pastors are afraid that they will receive more attention. Those pastors stop them because they themselves have not experienced the Holy Spirit and His power. There is a day and night difference between those who have experienced the Holy Spirit and those who have not. When inexperienced pastors hinder the work of the Holy Spirit from being done by the laity, their ministry starts to warp away from the truth. Anyone desiring the power of God must be open to the Holy Spirit. For example, a good calligraphic brush absorbs the ink and retains it, because letters cannot be written if the brush does not absorb the ink. Then it cannot be utilized to make a masterpiece. Likewise, people who reject the Holy Spirit cannot receive His help. However, those who desire and welcome the Holy Spirit can be His instrument anywhere and any time to manifest His work of art. Many people give lip service to the Holy Spirit, declaring their desire for His power and work. Yet, they still think that He is inferior to the Son deep in their hearts. They might desire the power of the Holy Spirit, but they do not really know Him. There is no rank in the Trinity. There is no order of importance. Among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it does not matter who comes first on the list. Even Apostle Paul said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. 2 Corinthians 13:14. We do not have to keep any particular order when we speak about the Trinity. If Paul thought that the order was really important, he would have written, the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Are you welcoming the Holy Spirit? Contrary to conventional wisdom, the Holy Spirit is not inferior to the Son. Jesus said, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Matthew 12:32. The Lord Jesus is so sensitive when it comes to the Holy Spirit that he warned us never to oppose the Holy Spirit in word, deed, or even our hearts. Can you hear Jesus underscoring this point? You may cause me to grieve, but not the Holy Spirit. You may oppose me, but not the Holy Spirit. You may even disobey and blaspheme me, but never the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is one. Thus, we must understand that all three persons receive the same attention when we cry out to God. Think of a frightened child. What is his immediate reaction? Mommy! No father that I know would be offended that his wife was called first. He does not scold the child and say, why do you not only look for your mom when you need help? Since you asked for her, go get her help. Due to the limitations of our language, we can only cry out to one parent at a time. But this we know, that the Father and Mother are one as parents. Similarly, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is not a list of importance or status. When we say God, all three persons are included. Many Christians have not experienced the Holy Spirit because they have not welcomed the Holy Spirit correctly in their hearts. Many Holy Spirit-filled Christians see visions, but critics label them as mystics. The interesting thing is that those critics have never seen visions. Shouldn't they first experience such spiritual phenomena before evaluating them? How can they just conclude that it is the work of weird spirits? If inexperienced people criticize the experiences of others, then it can only be out of jealousy. Many have devalued the gifts of the Holy Spirit, even after receiving them. In the beginning, they are excited because they received the gifts. However, after time, they do not even use it at all. It just becomes a memory to them. This grieves the Holy Spirit. Why not treasure and use them passionately? Then, how can the Holy Spirit entrust them with other gifts? I remember the day I accepted Jesus. I was filled with the Holy Spirit and started to speak in tongues. I was so shocked and thankful that God would give me His gifts that I kept speaking for hours. I was like a baby who just discovered how to speak a few words for the first time. I could not stop speaking. After speaking in tongues for 9 hours, I started to see a vision of angels ministering inside the church. Since then, though I do not try, visions keep appearing to me. Of course, this does not mean that those who speak in tongues and see visions are superior to others who lack the experience. There are those who cause problems in the church after seeing visions because of their lack of wisdom. However, the ability to see visions should not be restricted and discouraged in the church. The Holy Spirit wants to endue us with power from on high. If we correctly understand the Holy Spirit and do not restrain Him, He would stand on our side to anoint and empower us. Today, leaders in the church fear the law of Moses, but they are not cautious about offending the Holy Spirit. When they hear that someone has violated the law, they will persecute the offender so much that he may never be able to stand on his feet again for the rest of his life. At the same time, these leaders are apathetic about their own sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Then, how can the Holy Spirit work through them? Without welcoming the Holy Spirit, you cannot receive His help. Without His help, whether in pastoring a church, preaching, or praying, you cannot overcome your own limitations. One in holiness. There is a common misunderstanding that is being practiced in the church today. Sunday school teachers instruct the kids to call on Jesus and ask for His blessings. Yet these leaders feel like they need to upgrade their form of address to Lord, Lord. Then the elders deepen their voice to call out Jehovah, Jehovah. People have unknowingly named the Father Jehovah, the Son Jesus. These are all destructive errors. In the Old Testament, although people diligently served the name of Jehovah, their sins were not forgiven, because there was no redemption in the name of Jehovah. They could not be saved. For God never gave any other name except Jesus by which we can be saved. Acts 4:12. If the Old Testament believers were saved by calling on the name of Jehovah, there would be no need for God to sacrifice His own Son. Through His only begotten Son, God manifested His own name to us. John 17:11-12. Also, God applied His name in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. John 14:26. Thus, today, we can use the name of Jesus to experience signs and wonders because the Holy Spirit has applied the name in us. Someone once asked me, "Pastor, the Father's position is the highest among the Trinity, right?" I answered him, "The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all holy, without any order." In human relations, there is an obvious order between Father and Son, but within the Trinity, there is holiness without rank. Up until now, we might have undervalued the authority of the Holy Spirit due to our lack of understanding. However, we have to start respecting and honoring the Holy Spirit according to the teachings of Jesus. Many pastors preach about Jesus and the Father, but they seriously lack the understanding of the Holy Spirit. Consequently, they cannot receive the direct help of the Holy Spirit and thus experience limitations in their ministry. A pastor must deliver sermons in power and conviction. In each message, every hearer must be able to experience the shock and wonder of eating and drinking the body of Jesus. It must be that real. Yet, such sermons are impossible without the Holy Spirit. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation 2:29. The preachers must be yielded so that the Holy Spirit can speak to the churches. Too many pastors focus on smooth transitions in their sermons, better practical knowledge, and managerial skills. However, they rarely consider how they should rely on the Holy Spirit. Personally abiding in us. The Holy Spirit is the one who personally accomplishes the ministry of the triune God in us. Although the works of Jesus has been accomplished apart from us, the Holy Spirit connects and applies them into our lives. The Holy Spirit makes the works of Christ real in our lives. Through Him, the works of Jesus become true bread and drink in us. Without the Holy Spirit, the ministry of Jesus in Galilee cannot be applied to us. The Holy Spirit actually resides closer to us than the Father and the Son. We must acknowledge and honor His presence. The Father is the God whom we hear with our ears through His Word. Job said, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you." Job 42:5. The Son is the God who appeared before our eyes in the flesh. He is the Word become flesh. He fully obeyed the will of the Father and accomplished His work for all to see. The Holy Spirit is the God who dwells and operates within us. Since Jesus is sitting on His throne, now is the time to be led by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. In the past, horses pulled wagons. Nowadays, the internal combustion engine enables cars to move. In the past, people heard God with their ears and saw the Son through their eyes. People were pulled and led from the outside, similar to how carts were pulled by horses. Now, like an internal engine, the Holy Spirit lives, ministers, and guides from within us. The Father sent His Son to us. The Son sent the Holy Spirit to us. The Holy Spirit is the God who now personally works within us. Because God lives in us, we can truly love Him. We can love God in any situation because He is in us. Those who have not welcomed God in their heart might honor Him with their lips, but they actually live godlessly. When people were only able to hear God, the Father, many questioned, "Where are you, Lord?" Then, when people were able to see God, the Son, with their eyes, they denied and betrayed Him. Yet, because He now lives in us, we cannot doubt, deny, or betray, but only love Him. The name of God. When we cry out to God, we are calling out to the triune God, not just one person. How can God actually accept man when he cries out to him? Man is just a sinner and God is righteous. Yet, God came to man as his Savior. If God did not come as the Savior, then this unique relationship between God and man would not exist. So when man calls on the name of God, he is calling on the name of his Savior. The name of the Savior that sinners call out to is Jesus. The Father already possessed the name in heaven. He gave the name to His Son, Matthew 1:21. Through the Holy Spirit, this name has entered into us, John 14:26. When we cry out Jesus, it means my God, my Savior. Calling on the name Jesus is calling on the triune God. Jesus prayed to the Father, Now I am no longer in the world, but these that are in the world, and these are in the world, and I came to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept and done, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. John 17:11-12. Jesus referred to his name as the one that was given by the Father. When the Son of God came to the earth, God gave him the name Jesus. When he was on the earth, he always used this name. After he ascended into heaven, he gave this name to all the saints. Concerning this, Jesus said, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. John 14:26. In summary, Jesus is the name of God who saves his people from sin. This name was the name of the Father, and the Father gave the name to the Son. In this name, the Son preserved those who believed in him while he was on the earth. After his ascension, he sent that name by the Holy Spirit to those who believe. Therefore, the one who died and the one who was resurrected and the one who will come back again is the Son of Man. The Son of Man once owned the name Jesus, and now his name is now abiding in us by the Holy Spirit. Consequently, the Son of Man is at the right hand of God, while the name Jesus is in us. Jesus' name fulfilled on earth. God's absolute will and promise for salvation are encapsulated in the name Jesus. The Son of God came in the flesh to suffer, to be resurrected, and to ascend into heaven. Therefore, his whole life accomplished the name Jesus. His name is the embodiment of his ministry on earth. In other words, the life of Christ on earth was to present the name Jesus to the world. If the life of Christ were incomplete, then the name Jesus would not have been fully revealed. Yet, because the life of Christ was completed through his death, resurrection, and ascension, the name Jesus has been fully and publicly manifested. Thus, to reveal the Father's name, Jesus Christ lived a life of public ministry. When the Son inherited this name, he also inherited the life necessary to save the world from sins. The name Jesus was a life designed for the public ministry of the Son. Before his public ministry started, this name was only a name of a Nazarene. The name Jesus was not yet revealed to the world and was not yet important to us. However, after Jesus died, resurrected, and ascended, this name became our salvation, our redemption, and God's love towards us. When we receive this name, it equates to owning the ministry of Christ in us. Everything Jesus did on earth, we can find in his name. His name contains all the works of salvation, his flesh torn and his blood shed. Owning the name of Jesus is eating his flesh and drinking his blood. How do we receive the name that God sent and revealed through the public life of Christ? How do we receive that name as our salvation? It is only possible by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit completely resides in us with that name. He applies all the works of Jesus in us. Jesus is the name of the Father in heaven, the name of the Son on earth, the name of the Holy Spirit in us. As much as the plan of the name Jesus in heaven is real, the works of the name Jesus on earth are real and powerful in us as well. Therefore, if the Holy Spirit does not impart this name to us, then we would not have any hope. The name of God applied. Jesus is the Father's will in heaven, the life of the Son on earth, and the truth that the Holy Spirit manifests within us. God's will that was accomplished in heaven was also to be accomplished on earth through the life of Jesus. The works of the Holy Spirit is to accomplish that will within us. In other words, the Father fulfills his will in heaven, the Son fulfills the Father's will on earth, and now the Holy Spirit fulfills that will in us. The Son of God completed his public ministry according to God's will, called Jesus. Also, the Holy Spirit has come into us according to that will, Jesus. The Father owns the name Jesus in heaven. The Son owns it on earth, Now the Holy Spirit owns it as He resides in us. The name Jesus is the full embodiment of God's will. It consists of the plan, execution, and preservation of God's will for man. The Son of God came to the world and fully revealed the Father in His name. Jesus answered, "He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." John 14:9-11. Now this name lives in us through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit we can fully experience the name Jesus, and we can fully experience salvation in that name. We can completely obtain the life of Jesus and the will of the Father. The name Jesus is the will of the Father in heaven, the life of Jesus on this earth, and the experiences that come from the working of the Holy Spirit in us. Thus, through the Holy Spirit, our encounter with God reaches its culmination. Many people today are ignorant of the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit. During the early years of my faith, I saw a revivalist who spoke about the Holy Spirit. In the middle of his sermon, he was asked by the head pastor to step down from the pulpit and later ordered to leave the church. The pastor rebuked the listeners for following the revivalist's instructions and singing, "The Holy Spirit has come, the Holy Spirit has come." The pastor scolded them, "The Holy Spirit had come long ago. Why are you creating such a scene about the Holy Spirit now?" This type of incident occurs because churches do not usually teach about the Holy Spirit. Thus, many Christians lack knowledge of the Holy Spirit. It is again unfortunate that morality and ethics are preferably taught rather than the Holy Spirit in many churches. Without Jesus Christ, the gospel cannot exist. The gospel has no value. But furthermore, it is the Holy Spirit who enables us to experience the will of the Father that Jesus has fulfilled. Thus, the church must listen to the Holy Spirit. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It was the will of the Father to send His only Son," John 6:38-40. The Lord taught in His prayers, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," Matthew 6:10. The Son of God came into the world to give us His flesh and blood according to the will of God the Father, John 6:53-58. It is Jesus who commanded us to receive the Holy Spirit, John 3:5. He gave us His body and asked us to eat His flesh and drink His blood. Jesus enabled us to experience the will of God by the Holy Spirit. Through the body of Christ, the will of God has been given to us. Now we can experience God's will through the Holy Spirit in us. Experiencing the name of Jesus. Salvation is the work of the triune God embodied in the name Jesus. If the Father had not planned it with His name, the Son could not execute it. If the Son did not execute the Father's will, then the Holy Spirit could not apply anything in us either. Because the will of the Father reached its peak in heaven, it also reached its peak on the earth through Christ, and now it must be reached within us through the Holy Spirit. These three parts, the will of the Father, the work of Christ, and the experience through the Holy Spirit, are inseparably intertwined in the name of Jesus. Those who treasure the will of the Father should also equally treasure the works of the Son. Those who highly regard the works of Jesus should wholeheartedly welcome the experience through the Holy Spirit. "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," Matthew 6:10. According to the Lord's Prayer, the will that was fully planned in heaven was done on earth through Christ, and now this can also be done in us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." John 12:49-50. His words originally belonged to the Father. "My doctrine is not mine, but His who sent me," John 7:16. How about the Holy Spirit? "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come," John 16:13. Therefore, the doctrine of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the same. Baptism in Jesus' name. Then Jesus said to His disciples, Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. Baptism is the powerful experience of the name of the triune God. All that the name Jesus represents through the Trinity is experienced in baptism. It is not just a ritual. Baptism is being united with Christ, declaring that the old self has died and that the new self now lives. Both faith and experience are completed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peter personally received this commandment from Jesus, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Most people never stop to think about what that name is. However, when he preached to the Jews, Peter explicitly said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38. Peter knew from what the Lord said that Jesus is the name of the triune God. Baptism is done in the name of the Trinity, Jesus. Baptism is acknowledging God's full work for salvation. The Father planned His will in heaven, the Son executed this will on earth, and then the Holy Spirit came into believers to apply God's will. We cannot see or experience His will, but the Holy Spirit bears witness of the works of Jesus. These occurred at different times, but we acknowledge all of them through baptism. We experience all three persons of God with one name at the same time. The moment we are baptized, we simultaneously experience the will of the Father, the works of the Son, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The testimony of the triune God. If any one person of the triune God were missing, then there would be no salvation. If the Father had not planned, the Son had not executed that plan, or the Holy Spirit not applied that plan, man is utterly lost. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in agreement with the plan of salvation through their unique roles. This is He who came by water and blood. Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. 1 John 5:6-8. Even though Christ came through water and blood, without the Holy Spirit, Jesus would not be applied to us. God's will was fulfilled through the public ministry of Christ. However, without the work of the Holy Spirit, it would be a feast with no one enjoying the food. The name Jesus is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, we want to hammer this point until it is firm. Foundation in you. First, the promise of the Father is in the name. Second, the Son fulfilled the promise through His life on earth. Third, the Holy Spirit testifies to these truths. In other words, the Holy Spirit testifies the fact that the Son has fulfilled the promise of the Father. If either the promise of the Father or what the Son had accomplished were missing, then there would be no testimony by the Holy Spirit. The three are in one agreement. Without God's promises, there would be no fulfillment. The life of the Son would have been the most pitiful, since His life was to fulfill those promises. The Holy Spirit bears witness that Jesus has fulfilled all the promises of God. The question is, from where does He bear witness? He does this inside of us. We are the ones who have these testimonies. We preach and testify when sharing the Word of God. However, there is a difference between preaching and testifying. In the beginning of His ministry, Jesus instructed His disciples to preach this message: "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 10:7. When the Holy Spirit came at the day of Pentecost, the disciples were told to bear witness or testify of Jesus. Preaching is sharing what we have heard. Testifying is bearing witness of one's own experience. Before the Holy Spirit came, people did not have any experience to share, so they could only preach what they had heard. But after the Holy Spirit came, witnesses can now testify of their experiences of God. The name Jesus is the will of the Father, the ministry of the Son, and evidence of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the three persons of God has been simultaneously fulfilled in us. We experience this fulfillment through the baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Through prophecies proclaimed by prophets from long ago, it was revealed that the Father's will would be fulfilled through the life of the Son. Now, through the Holy Spirit, we experience the will of the Father and the works of Jesus Christ. We receive the evidence of our faith through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit living in us testifies the will of the Father and the works of Jesus Christ. Our faith reaches its climax by the Holy Spirit. Without the witness of the Holy Spirit, we would be liars because we would be testifying of what we have not experienced. Honoring and loving the Holy Spirit in us is showing the same respect to the Father's will and the works of Jesus Christ. For the Holy Spirit continues to testify of both in us. Knowing the name of Jesus through the Holy Spirit is knowing the will of God and the works of Christ. To know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is a simultaneous experience. That is why praying in Jesus' name is a powerful experience. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for those who believe in His name. In Jesus' name, you can be saved, healed, delivered, and blessed. You do not have to live in fear, defeat, shame, sickness, or bondages. Many people only focus on the Holy Spirit's gentleness and joy. The Holy Spirit's passion is to make the works of Jesus Christ alive in you. He makes the works completed by Christ as personal experiences in all believers. Just as a train runs on rail tracks, the Son lived His public life according to the Father's will. The works of Christ equates to the Father's heavenly will executed on earth. The Holy Spirit works in us so that this fact may become solid evidence. For example, the Father is like a scriptwriter, and the Son is the one who acts according to the script. The Holy Spirit records and replays the story to us. However, people think that the Holy Spirit has a separate ministry from the Father and the Son. Their works are not different. The work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. The Son had accomplished the Father's will through His body, and the Holy Spirit replays this fact so that it can become part of our personal experience. The next phase of Christ's ministry. The life of Jesus and the will of God are inseparable. Like an actor performing according to the script, Jesus used His body to accomplish the Father's will. The Holy Spirit causes this truth to become our experience and grace to us. The ministry of the name Jesus still continues today through the Holy Spirit. The saints now live the next phase of Christ's public ministry through the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul said, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of His body, which is the church." Colossians 1:24. The work of the church can be described as the next phase of Christ's public ministry. The one in charge of this ministry is the Holy Spirit. The life of Christ would just be a part of history without the Holy Spirit. He applies and reapplies the ministry of Christ in us. We need to leave behind the traditional understanding that the Holy Spirit is the God who only gives peace and joy. Thus, many do not feel the need to receive the Holy Spirit. They claim, "I'm always at peace and joyful, so I don't need to receive the Holy Spirit. My nature has always been gentle, and I don't get angry, even without the Holy Spirit." However, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that the life of Jesus Christ can come alive in us once again to fulfill the will of the Father.